Good morning, everyone, on this Lord's Day. Welcome to Lassen Street Church of Christ, the online worship service. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you as the God of gods and the King of kings. There is none like you, nor will there ever be. We rejoice in the opportunity this morning to hear a message from your word and afterward to partake of the Lord's Supper. May our worship of you be pleasing. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen. Today's lesson is entitled True Compassion. I will be reading the keynote scripture, Exodus 34, verses 5 to 7. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with Moses and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and in faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. The world we live in today doesn't have a lot of compassion. Sadly, it is getting less and less compassionate. Recently, I saw a video clip of an elderly Asian woman savagely beaten, allegedly because she was Asian, in New York City, where bystanders simply watched and filmed her being knocked to the ground and injured. No assistance of any kind was offered to the victim, nor did they try to stop the attacker. Situations like this just make your blood boil. Rudeness seems to be the norm in many situations. Just hop in your car, take a drive, and see for yourself. Everyone is out for themselves at the expense of others. There isn't any time for compassion. I think you get the picture I'm trying to portray. I share you this lesson this morning because I struggle to be compassionate, not wanting to give too many excuses, but I wasn't raised in a family that practiced a lot of compassion, nor have I worked in occupations that demand or practice compassion. In this situation I just described a moment ago, my first reaction would be to seek justice and revenge rather than empathy for the victim and what could be done to help. I recall an example of my own lack of compassion in a situation many years ago when I was driving cross-country from Southern California to a new Navy duty station in Norfolk, Virginia. I stopped at a truck stop, if memory serves me correct, Needles, California, to get gas and a bite to eat. As I was leaving, a poor family begged me to give their car, visibly not in the best condition, a jump start. I had jumper cables, but was in a hurry to get going on the trip. So I selfishly ignored them and went on my way. I was inconvenienced, and I didn't want to take a risk dealing with needy people, even though clearly they weren't a threat to anyone. Now I ask, how long would it take to jump their car battery? A few minutes? Would a few minutes be a delay, a big delay for a 2,300-mile trip? I think not. In that circumstance, I was like the priest and the Levite in the parable of the Good Samaritan, who passed by the injured man without rendering assistance, as described in Luke 10, verse 25 to 37. This morning, I hope to share with you that God is a God of compassion. In our scripture reading, Exodus 34, verses 5 to 7, God reveals himself first and foremost as compassionate. As Christians, we are to imitate God through our compassion for others. So what is compassion? What does it mean? The American Heritage Dictionary defines compassion as the deep feeling of sharing the suffering of another in the inclination to give aid and or support or to show mercy. Being compassionate involves both feelings and actions. Scripture provides an even deeper and more significant meaning to compassion. Compassion is one of the significant ways in which God describes himself. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. It is more than the temporary emotions or feelings experienced when watching a charity ad on television. The Hebrew word for compassion is used in Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, rachum, is translated as merciful and full of compassion. According to scholars, it is significant that the Hebrew word for womb, rachem, shares the same root word used for compassion. This link implies that God's compassion is like a mother's tender feelings in caring for her infant child, something originating deep from within, the core of our being. The word compassion in the New Testament, splanchnizomai, appears 12 times. It is defined as move to action from the inward parts, literally the bowels. One of the examples of the use of the word compassion in the New Testament can be found in Matthew 14, verse 14, where Jesus has compassion on the crowds and healed the sick. Perhaps this might be one of the origins of the saying, having the guts to do something. As used in scriptures, then, genuine compassion emanates from the very core of our being and results in action. New Testament writers intentionally use this definition of compassion involving one's inner parts to emphasize the force and the power of God's compassion. Having defined compassion, what can we learn about God and His compassion? Scriptures describe many instances of God and His compassion. It is noteworthy that the first word that God uses to describe Himself is compassionate. It is God's loving compassion for His ultimate creation, man, that drives His grace, patience, mercy, and forgiveness towards us. He extends His compassion to us every day, whether we deserve it or not. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. It is extended to us because of God's nature and character, not by anything that we do ourselves. So what are some examples of God's compassion? The Old Testament provides many examples of God's compassion. Let's look at this example. In Exodus 3, verse 7 to 10, God puts His concern and compassion for His people into action. I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land. In Nehemiah 9, verses 27, 28, and 31, God's compassion continues despite the Israelites' rebellion and disobedience on numerous occasions. So you handed them over to their enemies who oppressed them. But when they were oppressed, they cried out to You. From heaven You heard them, and in Your great compassion, You gave them deliverers who rescued them from the hand of their enemies. But as soon as they were at rest, they again did evil in Your sight. And when they cried out to You again, You heard from heaven, and in Your compassion, You delivered them time and time again. After many years of disobedience and after being handed over to neighboring peoples, God, in His great mercy, did not put an end to them or abandon them, for He is gracious and merciful. Likewise, in the New Testament, Jesus provides many examples of compassion. In Matthew 14, verses 13 to 20, Jesus demonstrates His compassion for the crowds that followed Him. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, He had compassion on them and healed their sick. Later, as evening approached, Jesus fed the crowds using only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus felt sorry for the crowds and had pity on them. In addition to feeling pity for them, Jesus was moved from the heart to take action to feed the tired and hungry people that followed Him and to show God's love for them. In Matthew 9, verse 35 to 36, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Again, Jesus is moved by His deep love for them and took action to heal them and to share the good news of the kingdom. The parable of a good Samaritan is another example of compassion. In Luke 10, verse 25 to 37, a priest and a Pharisee passed by without assisting an injured man who was robbed that they encountered on the highway. But a Samaritan came by the man and had pity on them. His compassion moved him to care for the injured man's wound and to provide him a place for him to recover. In Luke 7, verse 12, another example of Jesus' compassion is shown when he encounters a funeral procession for a widow's son. When the Lord saw the widow, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Jesus went up to the dead man's bier and touched it, commanding him to get up, raising him from the dead. In all of these examples of God's compassion, action follows feeling. It isn't really compassion until action takes place. True compassion, then, is feeling plus action. James 2, verses 15 to 16 states, Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and be well fed," but does nothing for their physical needs, what good is that? Just like faith, compassion requires action that goes beyond mere sympathy. As a man, Jesus clearly understood what it was like to be human and what people experienced in life here on earth. So how do we apply these things? How do we build and improve our compassion? How can our compassion be more like that of Christ? Compassion is not something that can be instantly obtained or acquired. Rather, compassion is a lifelong growth process that accompanies maturity. It does not always have to be grandiose or spectacular, as seen in Jesus. More often, it is practiced in small day-to-day interactions. As Christians, we are to be imitators of God, Ephesians 5, verse 1. I offer the following thoughts about building compassion. First, we need to live as one made alive in Christ. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3 states, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16 reminds us that through the Holy Spirit, we have the mind of Christ. Adopt an eternal perspective and store up treasures in heaven that are pleasing to God. Look at others with Christ's perspective. By having this perspective, one can recognize what is really important and what God's compassion involves. Secondly, put death to your old self. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Colossians 3, verse 5. Simply put, sin focuses on self and cuts off our ability to have compassion for others and the ability to see other people as God's creations. Self-denial is necessary to put the needs of another before our own. Thirdly, forgive as the Lord forgives us. We cannot be compassionate towards others if we have not forgiven ourselves or others. Be grateful for God's forgiveness, which we really don't deserve. Holding on to bitterness and anger from past injustices and wrongs hinder our ability to be merciful and empathetic to others. If we do not love ourselves, how can we love others? Colossians 3, verse 13 exhorts us that we are to bear with one another and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone, and forgive as the Lord forgave you. Clothe yourself with compassion. Colossians 3, verse 12 urges us, as God's chosen people, to clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Find ways to make Christ a part of every aspect of your lives. Let us be so consumed with Him that we are compelled to see things as He does. Make compassion a part of your character. Lay down your lives for your brothers and sisters. Love in deeds and truth. Action speaks louder than words. 1 John 3, verse 18 says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions in truth." As demonstrated repeatedly throughout the scripture, when there is a need, God takes action. We should do likewise. Faith without action is dead. Compassion is not just doing something to check off on a list of good deeds. Finally, ask God for the courage to do what is needed. Philippians 4, verse 6 states that we are not to be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Pray to God for the courage to change and the wisdom to recognize ways to help others. So I conclude this lesson with these thoughts. God is a God of compassion and mercy, as evidenced by his dealings with his people in the Old Testament and through the work of Christ in the New Testament. As God's beloved children, we must imitate him and have the mind of Christ. This means showing compassion to those around us with our words and actions. The world today needs us. Go and do likewise. Of course, the ultimate expression of God's compassion is his gift of Jesus on the cross. God, filled with compassion and deeply moved and grieved by our sin, entered into the suffering of humanity and gave himself on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins so that we might have eternal life. John 3:16. And so this morning, the lesson is yours. And now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning to worship you by hearing this lesson from your word. Help us to have the heart of a servant and to learn to have the same compassion you have for all men. We ask your blessing on the coming week. Amen. Let us now partake of the Lord's Supper. I will be reading from Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Let us pray for the bread. Lord God, we acknowledge that the bread that we are about to take represents your body on the cross. The sacrifice you made was very costly, as you made the ultimate sacrifice by dying on the cross for our sins. Help us to take this bread in a worthy manner. Amen. Let us pray for the cup. Lord God, we acknowledge this cup represents the blood you shed on the cross as payment for our sins. Just as in the Passover, we realize that it is only your blood that covers our sins. Thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice, as we could not have done anything to save ourselves. May we gratefully take this cup and reflect on your great gift to us. Amen. And let us go to the Father in prayer. Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity to hear a message from your word and to observe the Lord's Supper. We ask your blessing on the new week and for the opportunity to meet again next Sunday. Amen.